Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
We're kicking off the week with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so swing on over there, check out what's going on. You know, you never know just what might pop up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right. Well, you know, it is Monday, so we kick things off with Dan's Players of the Week because I'm not upset about anything else, so we can jump right into that. So, you know, we like to start in the American League here just because we're funny like that. Who is your American League, as we're calling it, Hitter of the Week?
Hitter of the Week. Oh, well, I had to do a little searching because I didn't want to, you know, continue to go with the obvious, but this is one that I really liked his numbers for the week, which is kind of odd because he was a little high on the strikeouts, but I figure with 26 at bats and 5 strikeouts, that's not a horrible ratio. You know, he played in all 7 days last week with 7 runs, so he's crossed the plate on average one time per week or per day. With 9 hits, 2 doubles, but he knocked out 5 home runs with 8 RBIs, which I believe was the highest last week in the AL. And despite what some people think, RBIs still matter to me. He walked 3 times. He didn't steal any bases, but he posted a .346 batting average with a .414 on base percentage, but his slugging was at 1,000. So I just really like those numbers. That man plays left field in Boston, J.D. Martinez.
Actually, I don't think he plays the outfield anymore. I think he's strictly a DH this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but they categorize him as a left fielder, so.
Believe it or not, he had the second highest RBI total in the American League. His teammate, Andrew Benintendi, had 9 last week.
Yeah, I almost went with him because he had one more. Get a stolen base, you know, but I figured I just flipped the coin. No, I'm just kidding. I really like Benintendi's numbers, but you know, I just felt like JD Martinez was, you know, being in, I don't know. I just liked his numbers a little better. So it was the, that's pretty much it. It's the home runs.
I think he hit 2 yesterday. So
yeah. I knew I should have picked him.
He was in my FanDuel lineup yesterday, so he was quite the positive. I believe he was the writer's pick this week as well. I thought I saw that he came up there. Now, you know, there was some interesting competition. You know, Matt Chapman had a real good week for. For the A's, not quite the power numbers, but, you know, he played in all 7 games, did hit .458. You mentioned his teammate, Ben and Eddie, had a .444 week. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Segura had a good week, not a power guy, but he still hit .414. Ben and Teddy did hit 3 bombs. What separated him from, was it just strictly the power numbers, or what kind of separated him from those guys for you?
It was more the power numbers, but, you know, as I look at it, it was really close between him and Benintendi, but just kind of went with the power numbers over him.
So right, so we move along then into the National League, and another interesting choice here for you. You went with who?
Brandon Belt. You know, next to his other Brandon partner on his team, he was in every game last week. Landed across the plate 8 times, hit the ball 12, hit 2 doubles, but he knocked it out of the park 5 times for 11 RBIs last week. He walked twice. He did strike out a really high 9 times, but batting average was .444, and he slugged over 1,000. So, you know, it was listening to a couple of his home runs being hit into the bay. Now I can't even think of what they call it now. William McCovey Cove, wherever that is.
Yeah,
whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I was listening last week to one of his bonds, and they had some cool trivia about it. You know, I think there's like some 70-odd home runs that were hit into the Cove, and he has about 8 or 9 of them, I believe. I'm probably totally off, but, you know, don't get all political and fact-check me into death on that one, but it's in that zone.
Yeah, I couldn't fact check down there if I wanted to. I wouldn't even know how to go about looking that up. So you are safe there. Yeah, you know, I'm trying to remember who I saw. I don't remember if Belt was named NL Player of the Week by the writers or not. So I caught the hitters, or the hitters as we put it here earlier. I didn't see who they selected as pitchers, but you know, you mentioned, you know, his teammate had a real good week. Brandon Crawford hit over 500 in playing in all 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I mean, of course, I was rooting for you to pick Alberto Almora, but then I could have just called you a homer and picked on you for it. What was the difference between Crawford and Belt again? Are we just the fact that Belt's power numbers were so much better, 5 and 11 compared to 1 and 6 for Crawford. But Crawford stole the base.
Yeah. I mean, that was pretty much it. You know, I mean, if Crawford had, you know, maybe more RBIs or something in that realm, or, you know, 4 stolen bases, maybe that would have put it over. But I really like Brandon Belt's numbers.
Yeah. All right, so we slide into pitching, and again, we jump back to the NL, and, you know, I thought this was a interesting choice for you. I was a little disappointed it wasn't Sergio Romo, but who did you go with?
Oh, we're going with AL? You said NL.
Yeah, we always go with AL first. Yeah, we always go with AL first here. That's how we do things.
Well, you know, I mean, after Justin Verlander's complete game shutout last week, I thought he would have been a, you know, hands down my pick, but being only in one game, I still like those numbers, but I just felt like Daniel Megden, who went 2-0 last week in only 13 innings, which, you know, wasn't that great. He did give up 10 hits, but he only gave up 1 earned run. I feel like the 2 games put it over the
You kind of flared out there. Did we lose you, or did you hit a dead spot there? Oh no, there we go. Dan must have hit the spot where he always drops off. So while he's reloading, I can tell you Megden was 2-0 in his 2 starts with a 0.69 ERA. Mentioned 13 innings, 10 hits. He did give up 2 runs, but only 1 was earned. Allowed 1 homer, walked 1, struck out 5. Opponents hit .213 against him, and his WHIP was 0.85. So there's Megden's stats as we get Dan back in here. Now, Dan, you know, your other guy had a really good week. You know, Jake Odorizzi had 17 strikeouts, and his ERA was 0.77. Just the fact that he got no decisions, or what was the difference there?
Yeah, the no decision. You know, almost an inning and a third left. He did give up almost as many hits, but you know, the two walks really put it in for me that he had more. No, I mean, it was really the decision. You know, I mean, it is player of the week. The same token, I think the two wins really helped your team out, but then it also boosts your individual stats. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I am looking at it here. Romo appeared in four games, didn't give anything up, started two of them. 4 1/3 innings, only allowed one hit, did walk two guys and struck out six. I just can't change your mind, huh? So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess you're right, because we are doing pitcher of the week. We're not doing starter of the week. But
no,
I don't know. I think that's
when we do reliever next year, you know, then I'll expect a little more. So
yeah.
To be fair, Megden was only one of the pitchers who actually won two games last week. Believe it or not,
yeah.
The other one was Ryan Yarbrough of Tampa Bay. So
yeah. Well, and, you know, and the other guy I really looked at, I liked his numbers, but the one loss kind of did it in for me. And, you know, the 6 walks, giving up 5 runs. I know they were earned, only 4 of them, but Andrew Heaney had a really solid week last week. I think he was definitely my stronger
off. Didn't he have, like, one really good outing and then one kind of poor outing? Is that how his week went?
Yeah.
That's where the runs came from? Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, for him, at least there was only one actual earned run.
All right, well, let's swing over to the NL here. And another interesting choice for you here. Now, for a change, you actually went with a guy who did make 2 starts but didn't win both his games. Who's your choice here in the NL?
Going down to St. Lou. You know, he pitched 13 in a third inning. He gave up 7 hits, 2 earned runs. I forget what these numbers are. I think it's only 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. No, 16 strikeouts, 2 walks. But that would be Jack Flattery. I don't know. I felt like of all the guys to 2 games, especially in the top 10, really put him over the edge. Felt like he had the best numbers last week.
Yeah, humorously, we were talking about Flaherty yesterday. He made his second start yesterday for the week. And, you know, the concern we had using him in FanDuel was the fact that it seemed like they were kind of monitoring his innings. You know, he's been a top prospect in their organization, but he was only pitching about 5 innings per start. And sure enough, yesterday was the first day he went past 5 innings, and neither Mr. Fantasy or I had him in our FanDuel lineup. So he would have been a, you know, another really solid choice, but that's just kind of how it goes. I am looking here at a guy who got no decisions but did make 2 starts. You didn't like Wei Ying Chin? Was it the fact that he only pitched 9 2/3 innings?
Yeah, pretty much.
I just got to pick out Dan's guys from this list of stuff so we can we can kind of see how it goes. But yeah, you know, there were a pretty really good amount of contenders. You know, Trevor Williams had a solid week again. So did Syndergaard and Alex Wood. Now, Syndergaard won both his games. Was it just the, you know, like Flaherty had, more innings and more strikeouts and a little better ERA. Is that what kept it that way for you?
No, pretty much. I mean, I really like, I think, you know, it's definitely notable. Syndergaard got the two wins, but in this one, the rest of the numbers I just felt were better for Flaherty. And thank you for correcting me on how to say that name. I think I was sitting completely wrong.
Yeah, and there were no relievers who made starts, so I can't fault you for not picking any of those guys. So I'm disappointed there. So we'll have to move on here and see what else we can talk about. You know, just kind of the other fun stuff. But I did find it humorous, Dan, that the top 2 teams in the NL East are playing, and one of them's not the Washington Nationals. It's actually the Phillies and Braves kicking off a series tonight. I know everybody's excited about this matchup, and it's fun, and, you know, they added a little fuel to the fire when the Dodgers swept the Nationals over the weekend. But I still... are you buying either of these teams being there at the end? I mean, I still think the division is Washington's to win, don't you? Or are you going another way?
I still think it's their win. But, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to argue with the excitement of the Bats down there in Atlanta. But, you know, I'm not going to tell you that Jake or Arrieta was the key to. I feel like their pitching has really stepped it up. And if they can kind of maintain, I think they can make somewhat of a run for it.
That's okay. You wanna get a laugh? I know it's always fun to make you laugh here. Yesterday, you know, again, the show on Sundays is based around Mr. Fantasy and I doing our FanDuel lineups. For the first time all year, Dan, I used Odubel Herrera of the Phillies. Now, as you know, he'd been on a 40-something game on bases. I think he was at like 45 or 46. And what happened to him yesterday, Dan?
Nothing.
He did not get on base. The streak came to an end. The first time I have used him all year in FanDuel. I thought he had a fantastic matchup. I thought he would have a really good day. And he got the big squadoosh. Actually did have an opportunity to get on. He had a drop third strike situation. I think that would have counted. And he stood at home plate for way too long, and they ended up throwing him out at first base. So, yeah, there's some more of my luck rubbing off on another player, huh?
Yeah. I got to disappear.
Oh, okay. Well, currently out east, the Braves are leading division by a game and a half over the Phillies. The Mets are actually 3.5 back, and then the Nationals, you know, with the rough weekend against the Dodgers, actually fell to 4 back, while the Marlins are 11.5 back. So we're not expecting Miami to shake much out there. Let me see if we got some lineups posted. I believe that the lineups for that game, being that it's out on the East Coast, should be released. Let me see what we got going for these two teams today. If my computer wants to cooperate, here we go. Look at that right at the top. All right, the Braves are going with Ozzie Albies leading off, playing second base. Ronald Acuna is batting second in left field. Freddie Freeman hits third at first base. Nick Markakis is the cleanup hitter in right field. Kurt Suzuki hits fifth, and he's catching tonight. Ender Inciarte is in center field hitting sixth. Johan Camargo is at third base hitting seventh. Dansby Swanson, who had the walk-off winner for the Braves in that big comeback yesterday, hits eighth and plays shortstop. And then Mike Fulton-Nawitz is doing the pitching for the Braves tonight. He'll hit ninth. Now, on the Phillies side, these games are in Philadelphia. Cesar Hernandez is leading off at second base. Rhys Hopkins hits second in left field. Odubel Herrera hits third in center. Mikel Franco in the cleanup spot, playing third base for the Phillies tonight. Carlos Santana hits fifth at first base. Are they pronouncing it Jorge, or are they calling him George Alfaro? He's doing the catching tonight. He's hitting sixth. Nick Williams hits seventh in right field. Scott Kingery holding down the shortstop position with the injuries they've had there. He's hitting eighth. And Nick Pivetta is getting the start for them tonight, doing the pitching. You know, looking at it, it's supposed to be 75 with no chance of rain, so they shouldn't have any issue getting the game in, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they, how they match up or how things get going. I mean, you know, like I said, it's fun to talk about, but in the end, I mean, if the Nationals aren't there, I'm going to be really, really surprised. That game should get rolling in about 15 minutes or so. They should be underway. Here's the rest of the schedule tonight. The Padres are at the Nationals. It's Robbie Erlin for San Diego against Gio Gonzalez for Washington. The Marlins are at the Mets. That's actually the Mickey Mouse app game of the night there. It's, oh, wow. Elser Hernandez is what I'm going with for Miami. And then Jason Vargas gets the start for New York. The Diamondbacks are at the Brewers. It's Zach Greinke for Arizona and Chase Anderson for Milwaukee. That may be the best pitching matchup of the night. Then we've got the Yankees at the Rangers, Masahiro Tanaka for New York, and Bartolo Colon making the start for Texas. The Orioles are here in Chicago to take on the White Sox. We got Andrew Kashner for Baltimore, and then Hector Santiago making the start for Chicago. The Tigers are at the Twins. Blaine Hardy gets the start for for Detroit there, and then it's Jose Berrios for Minnesota tonight. The Royals are at the Cardinals, so you got the Missouri series going on. What is that, I-75, I think it might be? Ian Kennedy for Kansas City and Miles Mikolas for St. Louis. And the night wraps up with the Rockies at the Dodgers. It's German Marquez for Colorado, and Walker Buehler is the starter for the Dodgers tonight. He's also supposed to be the hot play in FanDuel. I do have him in my lineup. He is my pitcher. He was the most expensive pitcher of the night, but you know, everything I saw and kind of looked at said he's the guy to go with. So I plugged him in, and we're rolling here. Other than that, my lineup is really Yankee heavy. So here's what I ended up with tonight. I mentioned Walker Buehler cost me $9,500. He's there. My first Yankee, I start off with Neil Walker in the catcher first base slot. He's hitting eighth. He cost me $2,200. Second base, I have Asdrubal Cabrera of the Mets. He cost me $3,700. He's hitting second for them tonight. Over at third base, I have Matt Carpenter of the Cardinals. Cost me $3,300. He's hitting second for them tonight. Shortstop, I go with Dansby Swanson of the Braves. Cost me $3,000. He's hitting eighth in their lineup tonight. My outfield is relatively affordable. You know, I spent all my money on pitching and then my utility guy. Jay Bruce is my highest priced outfielder at $2,900. He's hitting third for the Mets tonight. At $100 less, $2,800, I got Brett Gardner, who's leading off for the Yankees tonight. And then my outfield wraps up with Marcell Ozuna for $2,600, hitting cleanup for the Cardinals. And then my utility guy spent big, going with Aaron Judge tonight, $5,000, hitting second for the Yankees. So, yeah, when you look at it, it's three Yankees, two Cardinals, two Mets, and a Brave, not counting Buehler, the Dodger, as my starter. So, yeah, the recap, Walker Buehler is my pitcher. Neil Walker is at my catcher first base spot. Asdrubal Cabrera at second. Matt Carpenter at third. Dansby Swanson at short. My outfield is Jay Bruce, Brett Gardner, and Marcell Ozuna. And my utility guy is Aaron Judge. That's for the 605. I believe they call it the main league. So you've still got time to get in on that. Now for Home Run Derby, as you know, I'm still scuffling along here. I managed to get a couple homers out of Mike Trout, but not enough to win anything. Now the Angels are off today, but the Nationals are playing, so I got Bryce Harper. He is right there front and center in my lineup. He's hitting second for the Nationals tonight. Then oddly, I'm going with two guys from the same game. I'm going with Justin Bour of the Marlins against the Mets. He's hitting fifth for the Marlins today. In his last five games against the Mets, he's homered in four of them. So I'm playing the odds that kind of continues. I know he's facing a lefty tonight in Jason Vargas, but Vargas isn't exactly a hard thrower. So I think it should be a solid night to have Bohr in the lineup. At least I hope it is. And then staying in that game, I've got Michael Conforto, who's hitting cleanup for the Mets against the Marlins. You know, I just kind of looked around at the matchups, and Conforto's been hitting pretty well. You know, I think it's a good opportunity to plug a Met in your lineup against the Marlins and, you know, see if you can land a guy. But again, this is another deal that starts at 6:05. So if you want to get in, you know, jump in and get your stuff rolling. But yeah, yesterday I don't believe I did I homer yesterday? I'm trying to remember. Did Trout homer yesterday, or was that 2 days ago? Let me pull up my home run history here. No, I have the big squadoosh from yesterday. So that definitely did not work out for me. You would have needed 4 home runs to win. I had Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, and then Nelson Cruz, who didn't end up playing. So that was a little disappointing. But, yeah, so I got nothing there. I don't know how Mr. Fantasy did. I know he actually did one, but I don't remember who he went with. JD Martinez, of course, was the guy to have. He hit 2 bombs yesterday. So, yeah, you know, we just keep moving along. We keep plugging them in, and we'll, you know, we'll see how it goes. Hopefully today is a, you know, a little better outcome. You know, I haven't won anything when it comes to, you know, it comes to Home Run Derby. So it's just kind of been one of, you know, one of those things. I don't know how else to put it. It's just kind of fallen and went that way. So we'll have to see how it goes. But, you know, I think is Dan, are you back there? Did you make it back here?
Yeah, I've been back for a while.
Oh, I didn't realize you had fallen off, but did you do a home run lineup? Did you go back to your regular lineup, or what did you do?
With my normal 3, but I did go like you with 2 from the same. I went with Mark Reynolds and Bryce Harper. And then I went back to the well to Didi Gregorius. So I'm sure I'll put up a 0.
Yeah, boy, he's really been slumping lately. He needs to get going. You've been on the Mark Reynolds bandwagon the last couple of days, huh?
Yeah, I know. I didn't realize he was picked up by the Nats. And then when I saw that and I saw, like, you know, of course, in his first couple of games, he had like 4 home runs in 3 games or 2 games or something like that. And since I jumped on, he hasn't hit any. But in good news, Big Jack, I got my summary for last week's performance. And I landed a whole 2 home runs for the whole week.
Oh, I actually had a little better week. I actually hit 6. I didn't win anything, wow. But I actually hit 6 home runs. So, you know, that was a that's a big deal for me. I don't I don't normally do that well. So that was a big plus for me. You know, will it carry over? Probably not, but, you know, we'll see. I definitely, you know, as it went yesterday, I got absolutely nothing. So, you know, I just kept rolling. But, yeah, you know, like I said, that one day I was actually kind of excited. I was kind of close. I was like, oh, okay, I almost got something here. So.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. If it wasn't free, I think I would have gave up a few weeks ago.
Yeah, you know, the way I always kind of look at it with these is it's free. You know, like there's no way I would pay money to do this. You know, just because I'm not good at it. But since it's free, I don't mind. I mean, like I even go in and do. You know, like they had a ton of free rolls for the WNBA. I didn't come anywhere close to winning anything. But, you know, since they're free, I don't mind, you know, go ahead and filling them out and take, you know, it makes it fun for me.
You know, that's what I was going to ask you about. What the hell was with that? Normally it's like 1 a day and all of a sudden I check my email and I've got like 10 emails from you. And I'm like, this has to be like duplicates. And I kept clicking on the link and it kept giving me a new one. I think there was what? Like 8 of them for the WNBA? What was that all about? Did they do one for each game?
Yep, there were 8 WNBA free rolls yesterday. So, you know, I did okay in the first couple. I think I ended up with like 190 points or something like that. So, it was a pretty solid effort. After that, I just kind of went downhill. I mean, I don't, you know much about the league except for like who the top players are. And, you know, I have this, this undying love for Diana Taurasi, so I put her in my lineup every day regardless. just kind of how it is. I don't care what else is going on there. She just automatically goes in my lineup. But, yeah, looking here, I scored 194.93 points in the third game yesterday. And then after that, I didn't do anything. I didn't get anything higher. The next closest I got was 179.78. But, yeah, it took quite a while to get them all filled out and go through and kind of figure out who was what and how it was working out. So, yeah.
The best one I had was the Phoenix. Damn, I wish I know. Is it the Sparks versus the Mist? No, LA is the Sparks. I can't remember all their names. But I hit 185.21 out of that game, and I was, you know, in the top 50, 4,050 out of 10,587. So not bad. It's just so hard, you know, like you said, not really following it that much. And then, I mean, like, I feel like I'm picking the good players. You know, I picked, I just want to say Brenda Stewart. But she landed me 108 points, being the MVP times 2 points. So she scored 54. But I think what killed me was my utility girl, Langhorn, had 0.2 points. So thanks for that, Missy.
I think it's Brianna Stewart, I think, is the top player
is
there.
That?
Yeah, I think so. But you'll be excited to know, Dan, in the free play for PGA Golf this week, I won 4 cents.
What, you won for what? $4?
4 cents. I won 4 cents. Not $4, 4 cents.
I thought you said 4 cents. I was like, wait, what are we talking, tennis?
It didn't cost me anything to play. I got in for free, and I won 4 cents, so I'll take it. So there you go. That was my highlights on the weekend. I was a little disappointed there was no NASCAR free play. I hope they were going to give us one for the All-Star race. So, but yeah, we didn't get one. I'm hoping maybe this week we'll get one, or are they off this week? Maybe next week.
Hey, yeah, I don't know. I think we all won 4 cents if you just played.
Yeah, probably. I was just excited that I won something. No.
Because I did get my 4 cents too. I'm tied for first, but I had 410 points, and the top guys, you know, had 734. I don't know who the hell I'm picking.
Yeah.
I'm just like, where's Tiger? He's not in there. All right.
I did the same thing. So is Tiger Woods playing this week? So yeah, that was my strategy. Hey, where's Tiger Woods? Somebody find me Tiger.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll be honest, the last time I really followed anything golf-related was a long time ago, maybe 20, you know, when I was a kid. So, you know, if I were really digging, I'd be looking for Chichi Rodriguez and, you know, was it Jack Nicholson and those guys. Or Jack Nichols. What was his name? You know, I can't remember. There was a lot of popular guys back in the day. Yeah. But, you know, I mean – I'm sure today there's, you know, a lot of popular guys, and they've got it's a big to-deal now. You know, they have bleachers now at golf courses. But I don't know. I still, it's not like a negative connotation that I have, but the stigma I have with it is old guys, you know, and when I see all these young guys in it, I just can't get into it. I'm like, don't you have anything better to do? But I guess with the money they're making, had I known, maybe I would have played some golf when I was in high school, because anyone could make that team. No, I mean, no offense to the golf, but it wasn't popular in, you know, the late 90s as it is today. So had I known, man, I could have – I'm pretty athletic, so I think I could have did well in the golf game.
Yeah, you know, you need to pick it up at those, you know, those formative years to – you know, really kind of learn the nuances. It's difficult, you know, the older you are to get the hang of it. So,
but you know, before I take my quick break, I do have to tell you my famous golfing story. I was about 5 or 6 years old. My aunt's husband at the time, was liquidating, you know, some of the stuff in their house, and he gave me his set of golf clubs. I don't know if they were his or he bought them for one of his kids, or somehow they ended up at our house, right? And I used to practice a lot of putting in the house, in front of the house. You know, I did a couple big swings, but I didn't really venture out too far after. I don't know what I was thinking. It's just one of those things that happened when I was about 5 or 6 years old. And I just did a quick four and right at my parents' front window. You know, the big bay window with, I think, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, 5 plates. And I hit the very middle. And my mom still laughs about it to this day, because she said I hurry up and made sure I was in bed before my dad got home from work. That was when he was working like the 3 to 11. It was the summertime. And, you know, she used to let us be up when he got home to hang out. And she said that was one of those days I put myself to bed.
Oops. No. Yeah, the fun things. Luckily, I don't have anything like that going on, fortunately. But yeah, you know, some, you know, I don't know, you want to call them minor baseball stuff, how you kind of look at it. You know, over the weekend, the Braves did decide to let Jose Bautista go. No real surprise there. I think he was hitting, what was it, did I see 230 or something? Maybe it was even less than that. Let me pull up the player card here really quick so I can get an accurate assumption for you. It was actually 143 is what he was hitting. He appeared in 12 games for him. Did hit a couple bombs. So, you know, I mean, you wonder, if they would have stayed with him, if he would have got a little closer to his lifetime average of 249, or if he would have been the guy who hit 203 with the Blue Jays last year. But apparently right now the Mets have shown some interest in him. You know, Todd Frazier is on the DL, and Bautista had been playing third base for the Braves. He actually started his career there way back with the Pirates. He was originally a third baseman. So, you know, you have to wonder if maybe, you know, he could fill in there a little bit. And then, you know, Yoenis Cespedes is still on the DL. You know, Bautista spent most of his career in the outfield, possibly. You know, he's a fill in there. So you'll have to look for, look and see see if he gets his way in, you know, gets his way back in with the Mets, or how it kind of works out. But he is 37 now. So you got to kind of figure the clock is ticking there. I know Dan will be excited to find out. I was going to wait till he comes back to tell him, but I just saw that Melky Cabrera got the call up from the Indians. I didn't realize he had signed with the Indians. I thought he was still looking for a deal there. But, yeah, apparently Melky is going to be brought up to Cleveland. I don't know, you know, what he's been up to or how he's been doing, but it looks like he actually started yesterday. So I had no idea whatsoever. We'll have to check that out. It looks like he went 0-for-3 yesterday against the Astros. I was quite clueless that he had returned yesterday. I thought it was today that he was getting the call up. It looks like they haven't had him that long. He played just 10 games at AAA, kind of like, you know, a rehab assignment or anything like that, just to kind of get going. He did hit 286 down there. You know, Melky never been a big, huge power guy, didn't homer, but he did have 4 doubles in his 42 at-bats. So, you know, we'll have to see if he can, you know, give Cleveland a little help. He's always been he's always been a good hitter. I'm trying to remember, did they have an injury or did they, what the heck did they do? I know Tyler Naquin went on the DL, but he wasn't really, you know, he wasn't really playing full time as it is. So I'm not quite sure where or how they're going to use Melky. You know, obviously they don't need the DH with Encarnacion. I know Yonder Alonso's off to a slow start, but I still don't think they're going to take at bats away from him. You know, Michael Brantley's been really good. So I, you know, it would be a little bit of a shock there. I guess we'll have to, you know, have to kind of wait and see. I know with the injuries, they're playing their top prospect, Greg Allen, in center field a lot. But, you know, Melky can't play center field. I know Brandon Guyer's getting a lot of time in right. So maybe, you know, maybe that's where Melky's going to fill in the corners from time to time, because I know Guyer can play center. They also have Rajay Davis on the roster. He can play center. So they're in a, you know, they're in an interesting, you know, setup here with him. But, you know, obviously, you know, the big holdup Dan had with Melky is the fact that he's a PED guy. Now at this point, I'm not even sure if this matters. I mean, at least Melky was man enough to admit that he did it because he wanted a big contract. So, you know, that, you know, a lot of these guys just deny it and all the other BS, you know, like sadly Robinson Cano denying it, you know, even though it was, you know, he had to know he was taking something, or I should say trying to hide something. But yeah, you know, Melky came out and just said, yeah, I was looking to get a, you know, looking to get a big contract. But, you know, while we're on the Indians, I did see that they've moved Josh Tomlin to the bullpen. You know, I know he's been struggling. They haven't really said how they're going to replace him. So I'm not quite sure, you know, where they're going. The first name that came up here, as I find the article real quick, Adam Plutko appears to be the guy that's going to get the first attempt to fill the role. Now, Tomlin has scuffled. He's made six starts. He did appear in seven games. 0-4 with a 7.84 ERA. So, yeah, not off to the best start. You know what I mean? It's only, what is it, five or six starts? What did he make, six starts? So, yeah, I don't know. Do you think maybe did they pull the trigger too quick on him? Maybe he is 0-4, so he's not exactly keeping his team in the game. You know, his last outing was 6 days ago against the Tigers. He went just 5 1/3, 6 hits, 4 runs. They were all earned. Gave up 2 home runs and struck out 4. You know, hasn't had a good outing since back on April 10th when he went 5 innings and didn't give up any runs to the Tigers. So yeah, he'll head to the bullpen. We'll see, you know, see how it works out. But I don't know much about Adam Plutko. Let me see what kind of numbers he has here. He's a 26-year-old right-handed pitcher. He has made one start for the Indians this year, and it appears that it was quite successful. Here he started. Where's the date? May 3rd against Toronto. 7 1/3, 6 hits, 3 runs. They were earned. He gave up 3 home runs though, and struck out 6. But the Indians went nuts. They ended up winning that game 13-4. So. He's gonna be the guy to get the first go here. He does have 2 other appearances for the Indians, so he's appeared in three games as a whole. I don't know how deep your fantasy league is if you want to run out and grab this guy. In AAA this year, he had made 7 starts for Columbus. He was 4-3 with a 2.25 ERA. That covered 44 innings. He had given up 27 walks, 11 runs. They were all earned, allowed 4 home runs. Only walked 9 guys in 44 innings and struck out 35. So, it looks like he throws strikes. And, you know, sometimes that's all you need. We'll have to see. I don't know if they have him set up. It says here that he will be recalled later this week to make the start. So, it looks like he's going to be their fifth guy. And we'll, you know, we'll have to see how that works out. You know, just again, lots, you know, this stuff goes on quite a bit, and you know, in baseball, you gotta make these moves. So, you know, yeah, have to keep a lookout for them and see if Adam Pluto is a guy Dan's gonna have to pick up later this year.
Yeah, well,
oh, I heard you rattling.
Freddie Peralta
to make it back.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say Freddie Peralta wasn't the guy this week. So that was a little rough.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Well, you have to look and see if Adam Pluto helps you out more than Freddie Peralta does. So.
Yeah, you know, and since we're on the fantasy bandwagon toss, whatever you want to call it, in our leagues, we're part of 220-team leagues. We do have a couple teams. I had one last week that I'll have to add to our list of do not invite back. Because I don't know if you've seen my total Big Jack, but I demolished him like 21 to nothing or three or something. It was ridiculous. But I'm still finding, I think, even though we do have a couple stragglers, like our good friend who only talks to you when he wants a recommendation, reference, whatever you want to call it. aside from him and like maybe I think we're down to like maybe three or four total teams that aren't really participating. This year is not like any other year where I've been able to go through the waiver wire and just starting pitchers. You know, I've been trying to do I do this thing, you know, especially in the one league I'm in seventh place, which I think is the auction league. The snake league, I'm in like, I think I bumped up a couple spots to like 16. I've been getting my butt handed to me this year. But, you know, hopefully I can make a run for it, like the Cubs or somebody. Or the Dodgers, because I guess I'd be more equivalent to their position. But yeah, you know, I unloaded a lot of guys on my team, and I've been trying to watch the waiver wire to pick up, you know, random starting pitchers. And Big Jack, there's like maybe you can't even keep scrolling. If you're on the app, you scroll maybe three times, and that list is, the starting pitcher list is done. And on occasion, you'll get a guy, but I don't know. Have you noticed that this year with our leagues and, you know, anyone out there, you're listening in radio land, podcast land, are you having that issue? Yeah, I feel like you can find some hitters, but I think a lot of us have our key hitters pretty much locked. And just the pitching has been very hard to come by this year.
Yeah, well, you know, with the injuries I've been dealing with, you know, I've had to try to hunt down guys or find guys. And yeah, it's been a tad tougher this year. So, you know, it's just how things go. But yeah, I was quite happy to see that, you know, as of right now, the majority of the people are still, you know, still changing their lineups. They're still kind of sticking with it. That's always the tough thing, but you know, we're doing okay, I think. I don't know. I haven't quite looked at it yet to see who's dead in the water and who's not. Like, I'm assuming I'm on the one site now. Like, I'm assuming these 60 win teams are done. You know, they're probably not changing anything. It just kind of how it goes. But yeah, all in all, that's pretty good for us.
It's been, I think that's what's made it even harder, is we've been a lot more competitive. So, you know, the Snake League, for instance, I've just been getting my ass handed to me. But
yeah,
you know,
I'm hanging out in eighth place right there. So
yeah, well, you know, at least you're still in playoff position. But you know, we're rolling down to the last 10 minutes or so, and this weekend had some really exciting hockey moments, and maybe not so exciting for me and you hockey moments. Obviously, I'm talking about, and I believe they play tonight. Hopefully, Washington bounces back to tie it up 3-3. Otherwise, going home again, which would be very disappointing, and then it will make your pick pretty interesting. I would I can't wait. I honestly, if Washington doesn't make it, I think that'll be the highlight, obviously, as to who you're going to pick, because obviously if Washington beats the Lightning, you're going with the Capitals, and I'll have the Vegas Knights, unless you pull a curveball on me, throw a curveball on me. But otherwise, you're very close. I think, what do we say, is Monday, you'll have to pick Thursday or Friday who you're going with. But, you know, I think the conversation I really wanted to go towards, it's been exciting for Vegas, you know, an inaugural team. I forget the stat line on how many inaugural teams, you know, throughout any league have gone this far. But what I really wanted to talk to you is, so we had an episode a couple of years ago, a while ago, you know, we do them every day, 5 days a week. You add your, so that's 6 days a week. We have a lot of episodes. So, you know, kind of pinpointing when this took place, this conversation, I believe it was more an NFL thing. And Mr. Fantasy really didn't understand why the NFL would be going to Vegas and didn't think the population there could support a major sports franchise. While, you know, the Vegas area, you know, the amount of people that live there is almost equivalent to Denver. So, you know, that was my argument, that they are a pretty major city. They're not just a vacation destination where you've got all employees living in hotels and that's about it. They've got a residential life and, you know, a lot of communities there that could support, obviously, this Vegas team. And they've really latched onto this team so much so that when they do the national anthem and they say night, you hear the entire stadium scream night, which I just think it's cool that, you know, when a team is put together and they have this unification with all the fans like that so quickly, especially. I thought that was pretty cool. But do you think this proves a positive light for Vegas and sports in general?
Oh, yeah. It's huge. You know, and I think, you know, the NHL, the National Hockey League, while it is looked at as one of the big four, it's a distant four. And I think this was a gigantic test. I mean, we've already heard Major League Baseball is now looking into expanding into Las Vegas. So, you know, and I know like the Padres AAA team plays there, but, you know, they're looking to put an actual Major League franchise in Las Vegas now. So, yeah, I mean, it's a huge deal. As you know, the NFL will be there soon with the Raiders. I haven't heard anything about basketball. I know they've looked at a couple other spots about, you know, going back into Seattle and stuff like that. But I haven't heard Vegas yet. So, yeah, I think that, you know, this is going to have a huge effect on the other leagues, because now it's a viable city where you can put a franchise. I mean, they've proven you can do this. And, you know, I would be interested to know how this would be going if they had a losing record and they didn't make the playoffs. But, you know, it didn't work out that way. You know, they're going to be a good team. You know, even like when the Raiders get there, they're an established team. And right now they're a contender. I don't know if they're a Super Bowl contender, but they're definitely a contender in their division. So, you know, I mean, it's always easier to support a winner than a loser. So, yeah, I definitely think this sets up really good for the other sports. And I'll be interested to see how hard baseball pursues this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have their options. But being that, I mean, for baseball, it was, what, the 90s was the last expansion team. You know, God, what was the NFL, the 60s? I can't even tell you. I am being ridiculous because the Panthers and a couple other teams came in the late 90s and I think it was the early 2000s. But seeing as we haven't really had expansion teams for a while now, do you think, you know, like Major League Baseball will maybe consider not so much just focusing on Vegas, but other areas that have, you know, a big population like so?
Yeah, well, you know, it's been rumored now for a little while that they want to go back to Montreal. You know, they think they're in a better position where they can get a better owner for that franchise, with a more baseball equipped stadium. You know, there's still been a lot of talk, and I think from not only baseball but football, about possibly Mexico City. You know, like football always goes down there to play a game. I know, I think baseball played a game there this year, or a series there this year. So, you know, you've got to wonder if maybe we'll see that in the future, you know, not only for baseball, but for football as well, you know, where they're going to go. But yeah, you know, if you go with Montreal, you go with Vegas, you throw Mexico City in there. I'm sure there's a couple other names that I'm possibly missing, you know, for teams and places they could go. But, yeah, there are some options. You know, the question becomes, how do you add just two teams, or do you got to go a full four? What does that do to interleague play in baseball? I would love to see them get rid of interleague because it's just meaningless. You know, it would be interesting to see how they would work out that kind of dynamic.
You know, I mean, obviously we tend to always bend everything back to baseball. I'm definitely becoming a hockey guy, even though it was hard to watch this year as a Blackhawks fan. Do you think if they were to go, you know, because the NHL, I thought it was very interesting that they did one team. You know, you would think it's usually an even number. But I'm sure what throws that off, of course, is the expansion draft. I forgot what you call it. Do you think with Major League Baseball, can you do that and just, you know, just show up in 2020 and have four extra teams?
Well, you know, I think it was. Was it 1969 they added four teams? Now, obviously, the league was a little smaller. You know, it may actually be easier now just because your player pool is so much bigger.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, so, was it 93 was when they added the Rockies and the Diamondbacks?
Was that, yeah, was it that? I don't really, you know, it's been so long, I don't remember. You know,
and then
but
the
yeah,
Marlins
it was, you know,
somebody
it,
else. Tampa.
Yeah. The you know, and that's the tough part is, you know, you've got, you know, some of these, you know, it, you know, teams that are just struggling. I mean, does Tampa really need to stay in Tampa, or maybe
they become the Montreal?
Maybe it's time for them to, yeah, maybe it's time for them to go to Montreal, or you know, something to that effect. But yeah, and it was 1980. It was 1998 when baseball expanded. But yeah, I don't know. There's we're running out of time here. But they got an article here about eight cities that make sense, and maybe if we come back to the topic, we could look at it tomorrow and see how it goes. But yeah, you know, I think that's the issue first is you got to address kind of some of these struggling franchises, you know, to see if maybe a move is better or if adding is better. You know, they'll have to figure that out.
Well, yeah, they would make money in Montreal, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Sports Time Radio.